The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So when I was in 11th grade, I had this absolutely fantastic teacher. She was my biology teacher, and she was exciting and excited and compelling and interested. She made learning fun. She made the material interesting and made the students want to know more. I can remember vividly her lessons always had a component of us in them, whether we were talking about bacterial flagellum or if we were talking about something way up the biological chain. It was always somehow connected to me and I to it. And through this basic understanding of the building blocks of the world and the processes that went on within nature and within us, I was connected to everything else. Do you ever have a teacher like that? A teacher or a mentor in elementary or junior high school, college, somebody in work, just someone that you'll never forget, that was compelling in the way that they taught and the way that you were able to learn and to grow through their attention, that they really wanted you to learn. They were engaged. What a blessing those people are to us. I have to say that whenever I read today's gospel lesson for myself, I have that same immediate feeling of familiarity and of wonder and of connectedness with God as teacher and as giver of knowledge and desirer of learning. I have had this experience. I think all of us have had the experiences of the gospel for today, and I have vivid memories of when these experiences came to me. Maybe in one case not the place so much, but the event itself. And because of that, because of the connection, and in the moment the connection was so clear, that it has been this beacon for me ever since. As Jesus begins to speak in Matthew's gospel today, he takes four points to illustrate what he is talking about in two topics or two foci of the whole gospel lesson. And the first one I'm not going to do them in order, but the first one is a city on a hill. I vividly remember I had driven across country several times, and this one time I was in a 1977 Jeep CJ5, my beloved Jeep Renegade, which I love dearly with huge tires and a giant engine and about 11 miles a gallon. And I had been driving through New Mexico or Arizona, I don't remember which, doesn't really matter. It was just flat and forever. And I started out like foolishly in the late evening thinking, oh, I'm just gonna drive to the next place. And I had one jerry can full of gas. And by the middle of the night, about 1 a.m, I had gone through that jerry can of gas. My whole tank was gone. I had now no gas left. And I remember driving in this black straightness on forever, wondering, you know, you get, it's this bizarre sense of confusion that enters your brain when you're on a track. I have not turned in hours. I'm going straight ahead. I must be going west. I'm going the right direction. And yet it's been so long that I begin to wonder if I'm on the wrong road, if I've gotten off the track and I'm going someplace else, off into the middle of nowhere where there's nothing. I couldn't be off the road, but my mind took me to this place where I was so afraid that I was going to be stranded and destitute and lost forever in this blackness. I mean, it was a bizarre feeling. And I remember seeing this light way up there. And I thought, ah, headlights, there's a car coming. And I'm driving and it's not coming. And I'm driving and it's still not coming. And I'm beginning to think it's an alien. It's something strange is happening. And I thought, oh, it's a street lamp or it's a house. And of course I'm driving and I'm still feel this fear, and it's neither one of these, and it doesn't seem to be getting any closer. And then all of a sudden, it seems, out of the blue, the light begins to multiply. And it was a city on a hill way out in the desert. And I was approaching for so far, it looked like one light until I was close enough to begin to see that light spread out. And the overwhelming rush of calm and peace and safety that it was going to be okay. Even if I didn't make it now, even if I stopped now, I would be okay. And that I was on the right road. I was going the right way. I hadn't gotten off and I didn't enter the Twilight Zone. Everything was okay. The second one, we've all experienced this, right? This is lighting a lamp and putting it under a bushel basket. Who does that? Who would do that? No one would do that. Will and I work all the time at the house. We're always doing something, running around. He's doing something. I'm doing something. And we're constantly asking each other for flashlights or to turn a light on. Hey, can you turn a light on for me? Hey, can you get a flashlight? If you needed a light, someone asked you for a light or you knew a light was needed, I can imagine William turning on that on the ceiling light and then grabbing a trash can, sticking it up above his head to hide the light. Wouldn't do that. When we need light, we need light. And when you light a light for somebody, the light is turned on so that they have that light. They can see what they're doing. It's a gift and it's a wonderful thing. And I think back on the olden days when people had just a kerosene lamp in their one lamp in their kitchen and they were trying to get everything done. Having gone to Africa and been there for a little while, I can tell you that's the way I lived for a while, and it's a whole nother world. You don't do anything. You can't do anything. That's why you go to bed. You just can't do anything. The second one that Jesus talks about is a little bit more obscure and a lot more easy to understand for people in the first century. He said, what happens when you take salt and it loses its saltiness? Right? Well, in the first century, this would actually have been easy to experience in Israel because the salt mines where they got the salt were right next to a gypsum deposit. And gypsum looks just like salt. It's a grainy white material. And so if you had made a mistake or gotten too close in your mind to the gypsum and filled up your basket with gypsum instead of salt, or with a mixture of the two, and then taken that back and it had been disseminated, if you went to taste the salt, it would actually be chalk. Gypsum is just like chalk. And it's good for nothing. You throw it out in the road, it could be like mix with the mud and solidify the mud a little bit, give it more consistency, so it's worthless. It's just worthless. So that's really hard for us to experience. But I had this experience, and not with gypsum. When I was in the Redwood Empire in California, in Northern California, in the Redwoods, there's a cabin way up in the Redwoods that is only frequented once or twice a year. It has a lower kitchen that's exposed to the elements. It's just screened. And then you have to go around the back, and because it's on the side of a mountain, you go around the back to get in where you sleep upstairs and where the fireplace is. And there's a little porch down there, so we went into the cabin and we got some food. We got our stuff out and we cooked up our little food, and we got, and there was the little cabinet above the screen, not a cabinet, it's just a shelf, has some stuff on it, and one was salt. And so we took the salt down and we sprinkled our food with the salt, because we just, we had the bare minimum, and we ate it, and it was awful. We couldn't figure out what happened, because we knew the food we had was okay. And then I tasted the salt, and it had no taste. It was, of course, it was all, we had to crunch it to get it out of the little shaker, because it was all solidified, but it just had lost its flavor. It just was nothing. And I remember looking, as we were laughing about it when we figured out what it was, I remember looking at the salt shaker and saying, it's a tease. In fact, the salt itself in the shaker on the shelf is a mockery of salt. It sat there and it gave the hope. It gave the foretaste of the possibility of the fulfillment of a wonderful meal, of a tasty meal after so long of a trek to get to this, only to be absolutely nothing. At the moment when it is doing what it's supposed to do, it has nothing to offer. It had I have to look it up. I still to this day don't know how salt can lose its salt flavor sitting on a shelf like that. It may have been up there for years, I don't know, but. And there's two topics or two subjects that Jesus is talking about in this gospel. One is the church. He's talking about the whole church, what the church is, this light, this beacon on a hill, that shines forth to all the people in the world that need help. This is why church buildings are built so big. This is why cathedrals were built in the middle of cities and were giant, so that when you came up over a hill or you came on the pathway, long before you saw the city, which were all one and two-story buildings, you saw the spire of the cathedral. You saw the height of the church way up there. That was intended so that you would see the hope and the possibility, the safety of what was coming ahead. Of course, Jesus is also talking about the church as the witness of the church, the mission into the world, the inviting of those who are injured, the gathering of those who are in need. All of these things is the church, and how the church then follows the instruction of and the witness of the gospel. This is why he talks about it. It says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't come to tear down the church. I came to build up the church. I came to give the church more power, because the church finds its grounding and its authority in the scripture. And the scripture is nothing less than the word of God. So he said, I have come to assure you of the foundation of your faith, the foundation of your purpose, the foundation of your mission, so that you may be that to the world. You may bring those who are tired and broken and hopeless and give them that place that they can come to and find respite. But what is the church? The church is us. So this second subject that Jesus is talking about in Matthew's gospel here, in fact, always, is us, each individual. We have the capacity to witness to God and to be that light that shines in the darkness, that beacon on a hill, that saltiness. When we enter into a conversation with someone who is downtrodden or broken or injured or hurt, and we offer them our thing, our sympathy, our sorrow, our self. This is a comfort when we're feeling alone. But beyond the measure of their distress, it cannot go. We cannot affect a spiritual change in the person's life. If my elbow is hurt and Jody sits with me and tells me that he's sad, my elbow is hurting, and he wants my elbow to feel better, and he wants me to feel better, I feel comforted by his presence because he has been there. But when he leaves, that's about it. It's done. That's all we have to give. But Jesus has told us that is not all you have to give. As my light in the world, as the light that I'm giving shining through you, you can give me to those who are in distress. You can give me to those who are injured, those who are in need. I am the gift that you give. My light shines through you for this change to the world, to all things and to all people. This is the celebration Sunday. We're talking about the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts today. And all of the, you know, this is the meaning of the of our life in the world, what we try to do as people living on this planet, being called by God and then leading others to God. How do we do that? Do we do that just in the church? No, we do that in the world that we live in, at least if we are a good culture and good society and forward-thinking and altruistic, at least a bit in our in a way that we understand ourselves, we build into the world around us, the secular world, the outside world, these organizations and apparatus that can help direct and influence others so that they may find their way through the difficulties and the tumult of the world to a altruistic understanding of self. That is the best witness of God within us. Once I can name this witness, then I can truly follow it. We've all done this too. I've done this with turmeric. You know turmeric, the spice? So I ate something about a year ago and it was so yummy. And I kept saying, this is really yummy. And I don't know what's in it, something's in it. So I searched out the person who made it and I said, I think it's real. There's something in it I can't name. I don't know what it is. I've tried to figure it out. And she said, oh, it's turmeric. I put turmeric in there. So once I found it, well, guess what I went out and bought? I've got turmeric in my cabinet. And I put turmeric in all kinds of stuff now. And I experiment with it to see how it's going to flavor and what it's going to taste and what other flavors it's going to bring out. Once we raise up this person through these different organizations and opportunities, we can help them find, or they will find themselves through their inquiry, the true heart and the true center of all of the goodness that we are trying to instill upon them. So we are celebrating Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and that light, the connection between God's purpose and instruction for us to lead and God's own indwelling spirit within each of us to search. As well as, if you realize we are commissioning the vestry at the 10:30 service, members of our own congregation whom you've elected in the annual meeting to be in the vestry, and our new senior warden, which is Lee Barron, and junior wardens. We have a dual junior warden team this year, which is Jim Epps and Sharon Warren to be our junior wardens this year. This gift that they're giving to the church, to each one of us to serve and to be that witness of God's call to ministry and grace, is part of this response to the gospel, to be this light. So the light that shines within us doesn't shine only for the people out in the world to lead them to God, but shines for each other to help us in our journey of faith, to renew and re-understand who we are within the context of the gathered community and within the context of God's gifted community. When you read the Gospels or listen to the Gospels, look for your experiences within the context of your own life, where you have known this or that to be your walk of faith, your place in life. God is a gracious and wonderful teacher, always, always excited to lead us to those places of understanding and comprehension where we find ourselves inspired by the words that that God has given to us and the witness that we have received. He calls us each to be the light, to be His light, of the gospel, of the story, of the word, that we might shine to lead others. But we cannot forget that we have that light shining within us so that we ourselves are led by God. You are the light of the world. Amen. Thank you.